Man, I know I sure am. All right, well, we're in Matthew chapter number 7 tonight. Thank you, Nick and James, for that. We're going to continue in our study on the Sermon on the Mount, and Pastor kind of set me up, and I'm going to let him down. No, I'm going to talk about prayer here in a moment, but before I do, I honestly, all week I've intended to preach on prayer. And before the message is over, I'm going to say some things about prayer. But even today, as I was just kind of finalizing some thoughts this week and some things, I felt like God was leading me in a different direction. But I think it's going to stay right in the text. And so we're not going to look as much tonight, though we will look at it here in a moment, on the encouragement to pray as we're going to look at the example of our Father. I want to bring your attention to something in verse number 11 that I noticed and I just have not been able to get away from. Verse number 11 says this. It says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children." This is the phrase that this has really stuck out to me. "How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" Amen. And so I want to talk to you tonight before the message is over about prayer. But before I talk about prayer, I want to talk about our parent. You know, we've got a heavenly Father. And I don't know that we'll ever pray the way that we need to pray and the way that we should pray until we truly understand who it is that we're praying to. And so I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about our Father. I believe that Jesus, throughout the Sermon on the Mount, is wanting his followers to understand that they have a heavenly Father. If you'll recall, a couple months ago, it's hard to believe it's been a couple months, but I look back and it has been a couple months. A couple months ago, we looked at the model prayer, as some call it, or you may call it the Lord's Prayer. And that prayer starts out, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Jesus is wanting these disciples to know that they have a heavenly Father. I want you to look back, if you would, in chapter number 5. I believe it is a theme that runs through this Sermon on the Mount. We've talked about it. I'm not going to recap and re-preach what I believe the theme of the Sermon on the Mount is, but I do believe that this is part of it. In verse number 16, Jesus said this. He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." Jesus wants these disciples to know that they have a heavenly Father, right? Look at verse number 48 of chapter 5. It says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." Jesus says, you have a heavenly Father, okay? I know some of you, I can tell by the look on your face, it hadn't dawned on you yet, okay? I hope before the message is over tonight that you are reminded or you are encouraged by the fact that you have a heavenly Father, okay? Some of you have had a great earthly father, and maybe some of you have not had much of an earthly father. But can I tell you, regardless of the kind of earthly father that you have had, you have a heavenly Father. And I'm just thankful tonight that I have a Father that is in heaven. And I'm convinced that Jesus wants his disciples, he wants his followers, he wants you and I to know that we have a heavenly Father. And so look at chapter number 6, look at verse 1. "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." And we could go down through here, I won't, but over and over he talks about their Father which seeth in secret, right? He says that Father that's in heaven, he sees in secret. But he mentions over and over how that our Father is in heaven. He's talking about where our Father is. Look at verse number 9 of chapter 6. It says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye," and I already quoted this verse, "Our Father which art in heaven." Jesus wants us to know that we have a heavenly Father. Look at verse number 32 of chapter number 6. Verse 32 of chapter 6. He says, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." Jesus is over and over, he's making reference to the fact that his disciples have a Father that's in heaven. And in verse number 11 of chapter 7, we're drawing our text from tonight, again, Jesus mentions, he says, "How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" And so Jesus wants them to know that they have a Father in heaven. So I want to give you just a couple things tonight about our Heavenly Father. You say, "I thought you did that a while back, Brother Dave." Well, I look back at my notes from a while ago when we looked at the Lord's Prayer, and I'm approaching it from a whole different angle tonight, okay? But I want to give you three things about our Heavenly Father that I hope will motivate us in our prayer life. And at the end of the message, Lord willing, if I have time, I'll mention some things about prayer. But first, I want to talk about our heavenly parent, okay? So number one, the first thing I want us to see about our Heavenly Father is his character. His character. He said in verse number 11, If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven. It doesn't say it here, but it implies it. Jesus said, if ye being evil, right, then how much more shall your Father? What's that say about our Father? He's the opposite of evil, okay? That's what he's saying. That's what he's implying. He's saying, ye being evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children. You know how to take care of your children. You know how to care for your children. He said, if ye being evil, and when he says evil, he does say ye. You know what ye means, right? It means all y'all, okay? We talked about that earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, thee and ye, right? Jesus says, ye being evil, all of y'all being evil. And can I tell you, we are evil. Pastor mentioned it before I came up here tonight. You say, how could I end up in that place that Pastor was talking about? I'm a Christian. I'm saved. You're still evil. You haven't been completely, you still got this old flesh, and this flesh that we carry around is evil. And Jesus said, ye being evil, ye that are still in the flesh, ye that have that fallen nature, ye that are of your father Adam, he said, ye being evil, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, right? I love that phrase. How much more shall your Father, right, your heavenly Father, that righteous Father, that holy Father, that heavenly Father. Jesus wants us to know some things about our Father. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, I read it a minute ago. You know what he called him there? He said he's a perfect Father. He said, look at it, chapter 5, look at verse 48. He said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which in heaven is perfect. He said, your heavenly Father, he's perfect. Jesus wants us to know some things about our Father. His character, who he is. If you would, go to John chapter number 17. John 17. I was reading this afternoon, and I was just thinking, I really believe that one of the main ministries of the Lord Jesus Christ while he was here on the earth was to get us to know the Father. That's what he wanted. I mean, I'm going to show that to you here in John chapter 17. That was his goal. That was his ministry. That was one of the things he was here to do, was to show us our heavenly Father. Look at John chapter number 17. Look at verse number 11. John 17, verse number 11. This is that prayer, that priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at verse number 11. In chapter 17, verse number 11, he said, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. And look what he says, Holy Father. Jesus calls him Holy Father. We know what that word holy means, right? It's perfect. It's without spot or blemish. It's the opposite of evil. You got evil, that's us. You got holy, that's him. And Jesus, when he prayed, he said, Holy Father in verse number 11. Look over in verse number 12. I would love to read this whole prayer. You read it sometime, but I'm going to skip through a little bit for sake of time. Look over in verse number 24. Let's start in verse 24, and we'll read down through the end of the chapter. It says, Father. Again, Jesus referencing God the Father. He said, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Look at what he calls him. O righteous Father. Again, Jesus referencing God the Father. He says, O righteous Father, the opposite of evil, holy, righteous. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus said, one of the reasons that I came was to declare to them that you're a holy Father, that you're a righteous Father. I came that they might know thee, right? And Jesus said, I and my Father are one. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Right? And so Jesus wants his disciples, he wants his followers, he wants you and I to know that we have a heavenly Father. And not only is he a heavenly Father, but can I tell you, he's a holy Father. He's a righteous Father. He's a good Father. As Pastor's been preaching, he's a great Father, right? That's our Father. Our Father in heaven is that's his character. That's who he is. And I believe that Jesus wants his disciples to know that. Jesus is coming to the close of this great sermon, and he wants us to realize and to remember that we have a Father in heaven, a holy Father, a righteous Father, a good Father. I'm convinced that Jesus is trying to get us to understand that. And the better we understand that, the more like we are to pray to him. And so number one, I see his character. Number two, not only do I see his character, but I see his consistency. His consistency. You know, I believe there's a connection here from what I was teaching on. You can go back to Matthew chapter number 7. I believe there is a connection here from what I taught on the last couple weeks in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus is talking to his disciples about judging and not judging. And he talks about, verse number 5, look at what he says. He says, thou hypocrite, right? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. We know what a hypocrite is, right? A hypocrite is a stage actor. It's someone that's playing a part. And Jesus, in this Sermon on the Mount, has been hitting hypocrites pretty hard. Look back in chapter number 6, if you would, real quick. Chapter 6 and verse number 2, Jesus says in verse number 2, he says, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites. Right? We looked at it. Verse number 5, again, Jesus says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. In verse number 16, Jesus says, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites. Chapter 7, in verse number 5, Jesus says, thou hypocrite. It's as if Jesus is telling his disciples, hey, don't be a hypocrite. Don't be fake. Be one way here and another way there. Jesus is saying, be consistent. Right? Don't play the part of a Christian sometimes and then play the part of a non-Christian at other times. He says, no, always be a Christian, right? Don't be a hypocrite. And I believe that Jesus is using this example here. I think that there's some connection where Jesus is connecting what he just talked to his disciples about, or these folks that are listening to him, about being a hypocrite. In verse number 5, he says, thou hypocrite. He says, don't be a hypocrite. And then he goes into this lesson about asking and receiving. And in verse number 9, he says, what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask him fish, will he give him a serpent, right? He said, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? You know, he's saying, our Father, he's consistent. He's not a hypocrite. He always does what he says he's going to do. He always gives what he says he's going to give. When you go to God and you ask God for something, God's not gonna give you something else. Now, I do want to make reference to this, and we'll get into it in a minute about prayer. There's some people that want to make these verses of scripture right here, a name it and claim it, you know, ask and it shall be given. Can I tell you, Jesus just got done talking to them about worldly things. So you can't take what Jesus is saying here out of context of what he just said a couple verses ago, right? Jesus isn't talking about if you want worldly treasures, you just ask and you'll get them. That's not what Jesus is teaching. He's saying you ask and God will give you the good things, right? We'll say a word about that here in a minute. But Jesus is saying be real, be consistent. Like your Father in heaven is consistent. Not only his character, he's holy, he's righteous. He said, but he is consistent. He never changes. James said it like this in James chapter 1, verse 17. He said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of changing. God doesn't change. God is in Malachi. He said, I am the Lord. I change not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our God is consistent. See, I think sometimes it's hard for us to really get a hold of that. And you're probably looking at me right now saying, Brother David, this is so elementary. But do we get it? Do we understand it? See, sometimes I think because so many people that we know are inconsistent. Sometimes as a father, can I tell you, I'm inconsistent. Please, children, don't say amen. But I know as a father, I'm not always consistent. There's things that I do that are inconsistent. And can I tell you, you as a father or you that have fathers, your father's not perfect. He's not always consistent. But can I tell you, your Heavenly Father, always consistent. Never changes. Always the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus is trying to get his disciples to understand God's not a hypocrite. There's some hypocrites out there. And if you're not careful, you'll be a hypocrite. But he says, but God, our Heavenly Father, he's not a hypocrite. He's always consistent. He always does what he says he's going to do. And I want to praise him for it. I'm so glad that our Heavenly Father is consistent. Amen. So number one, we see his character. Number two, we see his consistency. Number three, and I believe this is really where we get into what's being taught here. We see his concern. Or you could say this, his care. Can I tell you, God cares? Jesus is wanting his disciples, his followers, to know that they have a Father in heaven that cares. He said, how much more if your evil father, your earthly father, your fallen fleshly father would give you what's good for you, how much more will your heavenly father give that is good for you? God cares about you. I want to say this. It doesn't say that he will give us anything. It says he will give us good things. Look at verse 11. He says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? So that right there in itself, I think, eliminates the name it and claim it preaching from this passage of Scripture. Because can I tell you, not everything we ask for is good for us. You say, I've been praying that God would give me that job. That job might not be good for you. So I've been praying that God would provide me with that house, or God would provide me with that car, or God would provide me with that thing. And you know, a lot of times if we're not careful, that's what we pray for, things. And Jesus has already addressed that here in the Sermon on the Mount about what we're pursuing, right? What our passions are, where our treasure is, what our focus is. And he, so you can't take these verses of Scripture, as many people will do. Many people will take these verses of scripture and say, you have not because you ask not, right? You know what James said? He said, it's because you ask amiss, right? That you may consume it upon your lust. James said, you know why you don't have it? Because you're asking for the wrong reason. You're asking for worldly reasons. And God is a good God, and he's not going to give us things that are not good for us. And Jesus is saying the very same thing. He's saying, hey, God, our God cares about us. He is concerned about us. He's a heavenly, holy, righteous, perfect Father that is consistent and that cares, and he's going to give his children what's good for them. That's encouraging to me, because I don't know what's good for me, but God does. God knows what's good for me. You know, I think about if we were trying to use the illustration of an earthly parent and our heavenly parent. You know, even our children sometimes, they don't always understand, but we as parents, we understand that sometimes our children want things that's not good for them. And every now and then as a father, I have to say, no, I don't think we're going to do that. But why? Because I don't think it's good for you. And if I'm an evil father, and I know what's good and what's not good for my children, how much more, right? How much more? How much more does our Heavenly Father know what's good for us? And he says, I'll give it to you. We have a great Father. His character, his consistency, his concern. This may go back to chapter 6 and verse number 33. I already read verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things? Good things. Good things. That's what he wants to give you, is good things. Your heavenly Father, my heavenly Father, our heavenly Father, he wants to give us good things. Why? Because he cares about us. Because he's concerned about us. Because he loves us. That's just who he is. Verse number 19 of chapter 6, he talked about laying up treasures in heaven. And you know, if you're pursuing the right thing, God says, I'll give them to you. If your heart's in the right place, if you're pursuing the right things, if you're passionate about the heavenly things, God says, I'll give them to you. God is a God that cares. Our God, he's a caring God. He's a consistent God. His character, he is a holy God. That's our God, brethren. That's our God. I asked Pastor Brandon before I come in here tonight. I actually asked him while I was standing up here. Y'all might have heard me. How many of y'all heard the hot mic before the service? Okay, the rest of y'all wasn't paying attention. The mic was hot, and I was walking by, and Brother Brian said, Brother David, he was lying, okay? He said, Brother David, you look like you're losing some weight. And I said, man, I'm gaining weight. And this mic, I literally walked by just like this. I said, man, I'm gaining weight. And I seen some faces look up here. How many of y'all heard that? A couple of y'all heard that, right? The hot mic. I was like, man, I looked back at Jonathan. He was laughing. So, yeah, there you go. I'm gaining weight. Amen. But before that, I don't know why I told you that. Before that, I was talking to Brandon, and I asked Pastor Brandon if Emily was in here. He was probably wondering, why are you looking for Emily? I've been thinking all day about that song they sing, and she y'all got lucky, Wyatt. She's in the nursery. But I was going to ask Emily if she could sing that song that they sang last week. He's good like that. He's just good like that. All day long, I've been that song has been playing over in my mind as I've been thinking about our Father in heaven. He's good like that. He just cares about us. He's just consistent. He never changes. He's not a hypocrite. He's consistent, and he's holy. That's his character. That's who he is. And see, when we understand who our God is, then we can pray. I don't think we're going to really go to God in real prayer until we understand who God is. I believe that's why Jesus started out the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He said, you got to know who he is before you go to him. And so our God, he's a consistent God. His character is he's a good God. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. He's a perfect God. And that's who he is. That's our God, right? And so with that thought, I want to give you just real quickly a couple things out of this passage of Scripture about prayer. Number one, I see an encouragement to pray. An encouragement to pray. Look at chapter 7 in verse number 7. It says, ask. Ask. Verse 7 says, seek. Later on, it says, knock. I'm no grammar man at all, and I don't probably have to convince any of you of that. You're probably already convinced, more so than I am. But most commentators say that those phrases are grammatically in the imperative form. It means that it's a command. It's important. You could even say it's essential, right? And so Jesus, when he says ask, seek, knock, he's saying this is important. He's encouraging, or you could even say he's exhorting his disciples to pray, right? So number one, we see the encouragement. It is as if the Lord is saying to them, this is important. You need to pray, right? You need to ask. You need to seek. You need to knock. It's important. Number one, we see he encourages it, or he exhorts them. Number two, there is the lesson of earnestness. These words here, ask, and he says, everyone that asketh, it means it's a continuous thing. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Be earnest in your prayer. Just keep going to God with that prayer. You say, but didn't Jesus already teach about the heathen, how they pray? You remember that in chapter number 6? Jesus said, don't pray like the heathen do, with vain repetitions. You say, isn't that asking and keeping on asking and seeking and keeping on seeking and knocking and keeping on knocking? Isn't that vain repetition? No, not if it's real. Vain repetition is just going through the motions. But Jesus is saying, if you really want something, ask for it. If you really need something, seek after it. If there's something that you need from God, knock on the door. Just keep on knocking and keep on seeking and keep on asking. Have some earnestness to you. I think James, he said, the fervent, righteous prayer of a righteous man availeth much, right? I messed that up. What's that say? The fervent prayer of a righteous man, right, availeth much. I was close. I was missing a couple words there, right? Fervent prayer, earnest prayer. So we see, number one, the encouragement to pray. Then we see the earnestness of prayer. And then we see the effort of prayer. Seeking sounds like effort to me. I don't know about you, but when I'm seeking for something, it takes some effort. And I find myself seeking for stuff often. When you lose stuff often, you have to seek for stuff often, right? I find my wife losing stuff often, and I have to seek for it, right? When you lose something, you got to blame somebody else, right? Where did you put the checkbook? You had it last, right? Don't act like I'm the only hypocrite here that does that, right? You had the checkbook last. Well, why was it on my desk, right? But anyway, right? But when you go looking for something, it takes some effort, unless you're like my son. Y'all ought to see the way he looks for stuff. Doesn't take much effort, right? But you got children, you know what I'm talking about there too. Did you look for it? Yeah, I looked for it. I looked everywhere, and you walk in the room and you're like, kick something. Oh, there it is, right? Right, no effort, yeah. But Jesus is talking about effort. He's saying, hey, if you want something from God, it may take a little effort. You may have to ask more than once. You may have to seek a little harder. You may have to knock over and over, but there's going to be some effort involved. And so he says, when you pray, you need to be earnest, and there needs to be some effort, and then there needs to be some expectation. You know, when you ask somebody a question, the you just expect an answer, right? If you were to pull up to a police officer and ask for directions, you expect him to answer you, correct? Right? When you ask a question, you're expecting an answer. When you go seeking something, you expect to find it. You don't look for something you don't expect to find, right? That'd be foolish. I mean, if I'm going to go look for it, I sure enough going to expect to find it, I might not always find it, but I'm expecting to, or I wouldn't be looking. So that's just what's inferred here. If you ask, you expect an answer. If you seek, you expect to find. If you knock, you expect somebody to open the door. Can I tell you, if I go to your house and I'm confident you're not there, I'm not going to knock. Right? You with me? If no vehicles are there, the lights are out, the blinds are down, and it's obvious nobody's home, what good's it going to do to knock on the door? But if I see the car in the driveway, and I see the light on, and I see the TV through the window, I'm going to go knock on the door, and guess what? I'm going to expect you to answer. Unless you go soul winning, and then you don't expect an answer, right? You're like, I see the TV on it, the blinds don't go down, right? Y'all just be quiet, they won't think we're here. The dog's barking, they're yelling at the dog, right? But when you knock on a door, you expect an answer. Can I tell you, when we pray, we ought to expect. We ought to expect God to answer. If we're asking for the right things, if we're asking for good things, we ought to expect God to answer. Why? Because God's consistent. Because of his character. But because of his concern, because of how he cares for us, when we go to God with something that we know is good and we know it's in his will, we ought to expect him to answer it. Jesus said, when you pray, pray expecting, right? Expect to find an answer. So number one, we see the earnestness. We see the effect. When I mentioned earnestness, I skipped one thing. You know, this, if you look at this passage here, that Jesus teaches this same thing. It's not the Sermon on the Mount. His disciples came to him in Luke chapter 11 and asked Jesus to teach them to pray. He gives them the same model prayer that he gave in the Sermon on the Mount. He goes into these very same verses, very, very little change from what we're looking at tonight. But in between those two things, he gives the illustration of the friend that goes to their friend at midnight and asks for something. And it says that man didn't answer because it was his friend. He answered because of his importunity, because he kept on asking. He's like, he's not going away. He's going to keep knocking. I got to go answer the door so he'll leave me alone, right? Jesus gave that illustration, and I meant to say that earlier. Jesus, in this same example, he gave that illustration. And so when we go to God, we need to just keep going to God earnestly. We need to go to God with some effort. We need to go to God expecting to get an answer. And then last, we see the encouragement of prayer. We see the earnestness of prayer, the effort of prayer, the expectation of prayer. And this is my last point. We see the effectiveness of prayer. Look at verse 11 again. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? I can't get past that. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? See, prayer is effective. He said, how much more? If your earthly father, can I tell you, if my children want something that I know is good for them, I'm going to do everything in my power to give it to them. And I believe you will too. You see that cello back there? I don't even want to tell you how much that thing costs. But you know what? I believe that's a good thing. And as a father, I want to do everything I can to give my children good things. And how much more? How much more does my heavenly Father want to give good things to me? Jesus said, your heavenly Father, he cares. And when you go to him and you pray, it's effective. He'll give you the things that you desire if you desire the right things, which goes back to chapter 6. What are you pursuing? What's your passion? What are you living for? The things of the world or heavenly things? Jesus says, if you're living for heavenly things, things above and not things of this world, he says, you ask, it'll be given to you. You seek, you'll find it. You knock, the door will be open. I could probably, and I'm going to end the message now at 7 o'clock, I probably could open the floor up and numerous people could stand up and testify to the fact that God has done that in my life. When I wanted the right thing, and I wanted it for the right reason, and I went to God and asked Him for it, He gave it. You know why? He's good like that. That's our Father. Jesus says, you got a heavenly Father. And then He goes into verse number 12. I think that chapter 7, verses 1 through 12 are one running theme personally. Not everybody feels that way, but I do. In verse number 12, and we may look at it next week, He says, therefore. Therefore. You know what that means? Because of what I just said. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. What's He talking about therefore? Because of who your Father is. Because your Father's in heaven, and he's good like that, you be good like that. That's what I believe He's saying. He's saying you got a good Father in heaven. He's consistent. His character is holy and righteous and perfect, and he's concerned and He cares about you. You be like Him. Do what He does. Have the character He has. Be consistent like He's consistent. Care about people the way He cares about people. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. In verse 12, it ends and says, for this is the law and the prophets. You say, what's the law and the prophets? I think it's love God, right? We looked at that earlier in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus pretty much summed it up like this. He said, love God, that's your Father in heaven, and your neighbor as yourself. And that's what He's been talking about in chapter 7. Jesus is kind of closing out this sermon, and He's saying, hey, just love God. He's so easy to love. He's such a good God. And just love your Father in heaven and love your neighbor as yourself, and everything's going to be okay. That's what Jesus is saying. And so, an encouragement to pray. We have a good, good Father. Aren't you glad for your Heavenly Father? Amen. If you would, I have you stand to your feet, and I have the pianist come to the piano.